Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you have given us life. Through your Son Jesus and his sacrifice, you have given us the hope of eternal life. God, that hope is an anchor for our soul. It makes our soul settled. God, I pray if there is anyone, please, God, if there is anyone in this room whose soul is not settled in their relationship with you, that they wouldn't leave today before trusting Jesus in you and your incredible sacrifice on the cross for their sin. God, we thank you that you paid the ultimate price. You gave your very life, Jesus, so that we could have life. And Lord, I thank you for that this morning. And I pray that today we would learn more and see more and understand more, God, of what it means to be and make disciples. God, I pray that we wouldn't leave today the same, that we wouldn't leave without understanding a part of the relationship, commitment, and sacrifice that it's going to take, God, for us to live out your great commission. We love you. Thank you. Jesus, thanks. Be with us now. May these be your words. Holy Spirit, speak to us in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I'm going to talk to you this morning about mentoring through a story. I was thinking this week about mentors in my life, and I guess my first couple of mentors were my parents. I had a godly mom and dad, and they were following Jesus, and they certainly were the first people and most significant people to invest in my life and to make me good and bad. They'll get the good part, who I am today. And so they were my first mentors. But my first official mentor came right after I had started with Youth for Christ, which was the organization that I worked for before coming here. And I had just started, and I was excited, and I was motivated, and I was very committed. I had left my really good job in the golf business, feeling God was calling me to do this. And so there was a sacrifice and a commitment and an excitability and a willingness, but I didn't have any training. I had never went to Bible school. I went to UWS. Any Yellow Jackets in the room? Yeah, there's a few. All right. And I went to UWS in business, and I was in business, and I was doing that whole thing. But God sort of yanked me out of that, and had me start working with kids. But I had never been trained in this. And so I think Youth for Christ thought, man, this kid needs a mentor. He's excited. And I can get excited about a vision, but he needs a mentor. So they set me up with this mentor, and we decided that we would start meeting weekly. And I was, like I said, I was ready to save the world, I at least the teenage world in the Twin Ports. That was our mission, was to share the gospel with teenagers. And I was ready to do that. And I had plans and visions and all these things that I was going to do for God. And I had a very sincere heart, inexperienced but very motivated. And he said, Mark, what if we study John 15? And how about if we learn what it means to abide? And I said, okay, that sounds cool. Why don't we learn what it means to abide? And so he said, let's study John 15. And we focused in on one verse, John 15, 5. John 14 through 17 is Jesus' kind of last statement, speech, talk with his disciples before he would go to the cross. And John 15, I believe, gets at the heart of what he wanted his disciples to know. And John 15, 5, I believe, gets to the heart of the heart of the matter. And so he took me there. Let's read John 15, 5. My first verse with my first mentor, Jesus speaking to his disciples, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now the first thing that stuck out to me in this verse was that last sort of phrase, apart from me, you can do how much? How much? Nada, I heard. Nothing. And I thought, hold on a second. I'm ready to do great things for God. I got plans. I got visions. I got things I want to do. And the first verse that my mentor said I want you to know about is how the fact that outside of Jesus, you can do nothing. Nothing. That verse changed my life. It gave me a different perspective on ministry. It gave me a totally new way of looking at things. it was outside of connection to Jesus, my life will have no eternal value. Outside of my connecting to the vine, the true vine of Christ, I can do a lot of things on my own power. So can you. We can do a lot on our own. But outside of the connection to Jesus, it will account for nothing. Now that took some wind out of my sails, I'm just going to be honest. But at the same time, it added some wind to my sails. Because I am a relational guy. That is how I am driven. I like to talk, occasionally listen, and I like to talk. No, I like relationship. I'm driven that way. I'm driven towards people and talking and relating. And so this opened up a relationship with Jesus. It just changed it. He's the vine. We are the branches. There is an intimate connectedness in this analogy that we can connect to Jesus Christ as our total source to do anything that will have eternal value for our lives. It changed my life. I saw this verse reflected in my mentor. His name was Mark. And his life reflected this. He was connected to Jesus, and he would tell me stories of all these things that God was doing in his life. That's internal fruit, by the way, fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. When you connect to Jesus, he's going to start changing your nature. He's going to start making you look more like Jesus. That's an amazing thought, an internal change. And then he will start to work through you. That's external fruit, good works that bring him glory. So as we start connecting to Jesus, he will change us internally, his fruits of the Spirit in us. Then he'll start working through us the good works that he pre-planned for us to do. And I saw this reflected in my first mentor. His name was Mark. And to be honest with you, this became my life verse. And it hasn't changed because I'm still living that same life. This will be, I believe, the verse that will carry me through ministry for the rest of my life until I move from this life. The only problem was my mentor left about 2 months after we started. He moved down to the Twin Cities. He got another job and he took off. And I sat there and I thought, man, you left too soon. You shouldn't have left quite yet. We're not done. All you did was give me one verse. But I'll tell you that there is not a verse in all of Scripture that I love more or have studied more than John 15:5. He changed my life. God used this man for this period of time to change my life and to show me what it means to abide. My second mentor wasn't an official mentor. He was a guy who started volunteering when I was with Youth for Christ before we had purchased the Encounter building. And what impressed me about my second mentor was not his commitment to being a good volunteer. I'd say he was kind of an average volunteer, as volunteers go. He wasn't that he was that great, but he was a young man. He was younger than myself. I'm not sure exactly how much younger, but he was considerably younger than me. He was an average volunteer, but what I saw in this man was a love for and a knowledge of God's word that I had never seen in any other individual, including any pastor that I had ever known. I could go to him and I could say, you know, where is that part in the Bible where Jesus says, you know, if you're tired and you're all worn out, just come to me. You know, take me upon yourself. And he said, that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 33, 34. I could say, where is that part in the Bible where it says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength? And he'd say, that's Philippians, and I think it's verse 13. I'd say, where is that verse where it talks about two being better than one for they have a good kind of a reward and they can do? He said, that's Ecclesiastes. I think, and he knew God's word like this. And we began to meet informally but regularly. And he began to teach me how to read and study this. And I saw something in his life that was real, and he loved it, and he knew it. And he started teaching me how to cross-reference. I'd seen those little verses in the middle part of the Bible here, in the margin, I'd seen those, but I didn't really know what they did. And he said, no, those are verses when you get a cross-reference Bible and it takes you to different parts of Scripture that can give you a more well-rounded view of whatever you're looking at. He showed me about the concordance. He showed me how to do inductive Bible studies. He taught me that, you know, God's Word can interpret God's Word, and it should. He told me about different time periods, dispensations of God's Word, where God would interact with people according to the law in the Old Testament. And then there's the kingdom of God when Jesus was ministering. And then there's the New Testament dispensation of grace. And he showed me how to interpret and read and study. And this is a young kid. And he's teaching me and he's showing me how to study and read and dive into this book. And no one had ever done that for me before. He lived out a verse that I want to read to you. He lived this out, and I saw this in his life, and he taught me this. 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul was speaking this verse to a young man that he was mentoring named Timothy. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. He taught me, he mentored me on how to rightly handle this. For the first time in my life, he showed me what it looked like to feed myself from the word of God. To feed myself. I no longer needed commentaries. It's not that I didn't use them or read them from time to time, but I didn't need them anymore. I didn't need somebody to tell me what this meant. I could do it on my own. I didn't need to go on, read a verse and then instantly go to the bottom and read what that means, because he showed me how to do that on my own. He taught me how to feed myself. And it was as if, some of you will like this analogy, it was as if I was eating a spiritual steak dinner for the first time. Can I get an amen? I'd been drinking milk, and he showed me how to feed myself the meat from the Word. And to be honest with you, there has been nothing like that, and the Word has changed since that time. Again, if I'm going to be honest with you, this young guy was good, but he wasn't perfect. In fact, there were times when he got under my skin. I'm just being honest. I think he had the spiritual gift of confrontation. You won't read that spiritual gift in the lists, but you've met people with the spiritual gift of confrontation, haven't you? He had that. That was a strong gift in his life. And when I would meet with him, it wasn't always comfortable. It was kind of like iron sharpening iron, but not in the good way. The way like, ouch, that, ow. But if I'm perfectly honest with you, I am grateful to this young man for the rest of my life. And I appreciate him because he showed me something. He mentored me. He walked me through a time that I needed to be walked through. And he gave me a gift, and I will forever be grateful to him for that gift. You know, my third mentor was a man that I met after the encounter had opened. This is all in a period of about 10 years. And we started talking, and I found out that he was a pastor and a missionary for many years. And he had left his church to do something that he called making disciples. And he asked me, he said, you know, Mark, he kind of knew the ministry, and we had this big encounter building, and we were seeing tons of teenagers come to faith in Jesus Christ. We were ministering relationally, and there was lots and lots of people, lots of things that were going on in a very good way. And he said, you know, Mark, what do you think of Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20? And let's read that verse, and then I'll tell you what I thought of these two verses. Matthew 28, we did read these earlier, but let's read them again. They're that good. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He said, what do you think of those verses? I said, well, I think those are the verses that the missionaries use when they come to church. I think that's what they use, go into all nations and make disciples. And so we started to go out for coffee or lunch regularly. And he started to show me how the church's ultimate mission is to make disciples, not just make converts, That's a part of the process. People coming to faith in Jesus is a key part in the process, but it's not the end. The key is we are to go and make disciples, lifelong committed followers of Jesus. That is the church's mission from Jesus himself. And this man showed me that. He gave me a passion to see church and ministry in a new way, in a way that I had not seen before. And he said, and he showed me, it's not about big programs. It's not about big ministries. It's not about big churches. Making disciples, please hear this. Making disciples is about a deep investment in a few people who become disciples who make disciples. The church's commission, their call to make disciples, is about a deep investment in a few people who make disciples who make disciples. That's the effective church mission. That's the only way that it works. This resonated with me. I went on a course that has not changed to make disciples for the rest of my life, not just make converts. This was one of the main motivators for me to write a curriculum. I wanted a tool that we could use at Youth for Christ to make disciples. And so I wrote this curriculum called The Quest for Christ. And it's a 27-week study where you get into God's Word. And it's been really curious for me because this study has basically two essential goals to it. And I want to give you what the two goals are for this study called The Quest for Christ. The two goals are, number one, to learn how to teach people how to feed themselves from God's Word. And the second goal is to teach people how to abide. How to abide in the vine of Jesus Christ and how to teach people to feed themselves from the Word of God. Now, I didn't put this all together until this week as I was thinking about mentors in my life. But the three mentors in my life, God used them independently at different times in my life to give me a picture of what it means to be a disciple and what it means to make disciples. And that was a motivator for me to write a curriculum called The Quest for Christ. Now, this curriculum is being used, Youth for Christ chapters, all around. Even the country used this. Other ministries have taken this and they use this as a way to make disciples. I've taken tons of groups through this, and the groups are very small. They're generally 3 to 4 people. Hundreds of people have had an opportunity to become a disciple of Jesus Christ through this curriculum. Now, this curriculum is not perfect, but it's a tool that God has used to make disciples of Jesus. And my third mentor showed me what this looked like. He spent time with me to give me a passion to make disciples. Now, in this Quest for Christ curriculum, we do word studies. We study individual key words in the Bible. We do personality studies. We study some colorful characters within the Bible. We learn how to read a little bit of Hebrew and a little bit of Greek. We have application-based challenges every week. It's a big commitment. It takes time. Some of the side benefits, you get some accountability with some other people. You get some fellowship, and you probably develop some lifelong friends. You know, I'm not sure if my third mentor realized what he was doing. His name is Bob. I don't know if Bob knew what he was doing when he encouraged me about making disciples, but he changed my life. And I'm now a maker of disciples for the rest of my life. Now, if I'm honest with you, my third mentor wasn't perfect. In fact, at times, he gets so passionate. He's more passionate than me. He gets passionate. He is driven. But at times, his passion sometimes gets the best of him, I think. And that doesn't always set real well, and we don't agree on everything. In fact, the longer I've known him, I think the more I respect him, but the more things I find I disagree with him about. He's not a perfect man, but he was very, very willing to take time and invest in me to show me what it looks like to be a disciple and what it looks like to make disciples. And my life has never been the same since. And to be honest with you, I'm forever grateful to this man. Now, I don't know if you saw the similarities. Did you see the commonalities in these three mentors that I had? You know, as we move forward, as our goal is to make disciples and we start mentoring more and more and more and investing in individual people, these four similarities, I think, need to be in every mentor-type relationship that we have. Here's the four things that they all had in common. Number one, they all took time to spend with me. Every one of those men took time out of their schedule to spend with me, because a disciple is about spending time and sacrificing for an individual person. A disciple gives of themselves. Second thing they had in common, they all used Scripture as their guide. They weren't the altogether wise one. They used Scripture as their motivating, guiding light. Because they realize they are a disciple who abides in the Word. God's Word is the key. They're not the key. God's Word is the answer. They all used Scripture. Third thing, they were all not perfect. Because there's no perfect people. Every one of them had something that made them imperfect. As good as they were, and as grateful as I am to them, they weren't perfect people. Sometimes we think to be a maker of disciples, you have to be perfect. Well, that would qualify no one then, because none of us are perfect. They were just available, and they were committed to very key things to mentoring. And fourth, every single one of these three men changed my life. They changed my life. They were a part of making me who I am today, and I'm grateful to them. They all took time. They all used Scripture. None of them were perfect, but they were used by God to change my life for eternity. Now, this picture of mentoring, this is found all throughout Scripture. Think about the pictures of mentors and just that we see all through. Remember Moses and Joshua. Moses most certainly mentored Joshua. Ruth and Naomi. Jesus and his disciples and Paul and Timothy. There's more than that, but this picture of mentoring, of passing on the torch, is found all throughout Scripture. Titus 2 tells the older men that they are supposed to teach and train up the younger men. And then he tells the older women, and he doesn't define older, I'm thankful for that. But he said the older women then need to teach up and train up the younger women. We are to be passing our faith on to people always, always, one at a time, making disciples through mentoring. So do you have someone in your life that you're spiritually investing in? You know, I've found something that as we begin to sincerely follow Jesus, and only you know where you're at this morning. I don't know where you're at in your walk with Christ, but you know whether or not you are passionately following Christ to the best that you have right now. And when you are, I have found something. When you are following Jesus, God begins to put people into your life to mentor and to disciple. Now, many times what I think happens is I think we miss these opportunities. I think that he puts the people into our life, but we miss them. Or we say, they come up to us with a question, and we say, you know what, let me give you a book. Or let me give you a study to go through. Let me tell you about this group that we have at our church. Let me tell you about a website that will... And what God is doing is he's putting a person into our life. They don't need a book. They need us. They need to see Jesus in us. And so often we think they just need information. And they do. But they need information through a person. And God will begin, as you start to walk this faith out in your life, God will begin to put people into your life, and he's putting them there intentionally so that you can mentor them, so that you can make a disciple out of these folks. You know, if God puts somebody into your life like that, take them out for coffee or go out for lunch. Don't push them past them to the professional people. Take them out yourself. If you've been walking with Jesus and you're a committed follower of Christ, then just go out for lunch with them and listen. Take your Bible with you and see what God might do. You know, as we move down in these levels, I want to encourage you with something. As we move down, we become less and less and less and less efficient. our efficiency moves down, 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 down. The most efficient program that we have is what you're sitting in right now. One person spilling information to a whole bunch. That's very efficient. That's lots of people, one very efficient. But it is not effective. This is not what it takes to make disciples of Jesus Christ. It gets less efficient as we move down. But please hear this. As we move down, we get more and more and more and more effective. Our effectiveness goes up as our efficiency goes down. And God never told us in the church that we had to be terribly efficient. He never told us that. And I think we have traded some effectiveness for some efficiency. I think in the church today, we want to be very effective. We want to get our faith in this little package and we'll do this and let the professionals take care of making the... And then we just go. But I want to tell you, He has created you, my friends, to be disciple makers. He has made you to pass the torch on. He has given you, He has birthed within you the desire to pass this on to other people. And I don't believe we'll be fully fulfilled until we are fully engaged in the making of disciples, in passing this on to people. I want to encourage you with two things this morning. Number one, if you're interested in Quest, that longer-term making of disciples curriculum, if you are interested in that and some of those descriptions and that triggered something in you, I'd encourage you to put that on your card. On your Get Connected card, it says, I'm interested in learning more about Quest. This doesn't sign you up, but if you are ready for a more of a commitment, ready for a regular weekly meeting and then some application and learning and doing, if that's where you're at and you think, you know what, I think I'd like to hear more about that, then fill out, I'm interested in learning more about Quest. This can go back right in the connection box. The second thing I'd like to encourage you with, and I think this is for everybody, I want you to please consider mentoring. Please consider mentoring. We have a lot of new folks that are making their way into Bayside. A lot of people who are ready on both sides to either be mentored or to mentor. And I would encourage you with mentoring. I have had, and I shared about three of them, but even when I came here, I had a new mentor, and I've shared about that. My former pastor started mentoring me when I started here because I didn't know what it meant to be a pastor. I was willing, I was available, I was excited, but I'd never been a pastor and I didn't go to school for it. And so I had a mentor who helped me through my first few years. And for the past 15 years, at almost all times, I've either had a mentor or I've been being mentored. And the majority of the times, I've probably had both going on in my life at the same time. Somebody that I am learning from and somebody that I am helping down the path. Consider mentoring. And again, if you want to, you can fill out this card. You can fill out both of those. I want to be a mentor, and I want to be mentored. That's a fair thing to fill out both of those things. You know, I want to close this morning with a verse. Paul talks about this. I think it's a great perspective on mentoring. It's a very short verse. 1 Corinthians 11, first verse, 11:1. Paul said this, "Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ." Paul was not trying to make a disciple of himself. People were following Paul. But Paul's goal was not to have people imitate him. His goal was to have people imitate him so that they would imitate Christ. He was making disciples of Jesus. You know, my three mentors that I shared about this morning, I saw something in them. I saw a reflection of Jesus, in a unique reflection of Christ in each one of them. And as I followed them in that reflection, I was following Christ. And that's our goal. When we start following Jesus, people will start following us, but really who they're following is Christ Himself. You know, the church's job, believe with all of my heart, the church's job is to make disciples. Make disciples who make disciples. We do it one by one by one by one. We make a disciple who makes a disciple who then makes a disciple. And it is the most inefficient process you can ever imagine, but it is the only effective way to bring the gospel to a lost world. It's the making of disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we praise you and we thank you that you gave us the perfect example of what it means to be a disciple and what it means to make disciples. Jesus, thank you for that. Thank you for showing us the way, for giving us that model. God, I would ask and I would pray this morning that we would be willing, Father, that we would be willing to make a commitment, to sacrifice. God, it's going to take time. It's going to take time out of our schedules, and our schedules are already busy. But Father, I don't believe there is anything more important than passing this faith on one by one by one. Lord, those of us who are parents, help us to do this well in our homes. God, those of us who are grandparents, help us to do that well. Father, for the rest of us, help us to walk with you, to follow you, to be committed to you. And then, God, as you begin to put people into our life, help us to take advantage of those opportunities, God, to make disciples one at a time. Father, we love you. Thank you. Show us what this looks like for us this week and as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.